Have you ever considered how connected we are in all of our relationships, or wondered why some of the same things happen over and over in different relationships? Have you ever wondered how to learn from and improve upon relationships? I'm Debbie Hazelton, licensed mental health counselor and host of the ACB Radio mainstream show, The Relationship Connection, which airs every Friday 1 to 3 UTC on ACB Radio Mainstream. Get involved in lively discussion, hear interesting speakers, and catch the show as it repeats throughout the broadcast day. Hope to see you there. ACB Radio Mainstream, The Relationship Connection, where we're always connected.
This broadcast from ACB Radio World is made possible through the support of Vision Australia. Vision Australia is Australia's leading provider of blindness and low vision services. We strive for the day when people who are blind or who have low vision can participate in any aspect of life they choose. You can find out more about us at visionaustralia.org. We are delighted to be partnering with ACB Radio to bring this WBU General Assembly to the world.
Vision Australia, blindness and low vision services.
Yes, it's that music again. Welcome indeed to the final session. Heavens, when did we start? Are we starting on, long, seems like weeks ago now with the Women's Forum. But anyway, here we are on the last session, folks, of the 7th General Assembly of the World Blind Union from Geneva and the Swiss. In Switzerland, La Svizzera. Ah, yes. So, what have we got for you this afternoon? Well, we've got to finish off some resolutions, which were overtaken by lunch, which was fair enough. Everything stops for food. So what we should have from 2 to 2.30... Now, remember, 2 hours back gives you UTC, so it's midday, that's 12 hours to 12.30. We have a presentation of commemorative publications. And the session chair, Lord Colin Lowe of the United Kingdom. A presentation of World Blind Union, Changing What It Is to Be Blind. Reflections on our first 25 years. And the session speaker, Sir John Wall. Marlena mentioned Sir John Wall earlier on, who's edited a book. Right, what next? Presentation of 20th anniversary of the birth... 200th anniversary, sorry. Oh, dear. The birth of Louis Braille. WBU promotional book. That's the one. Hello. Session speaker, Enrico Perez, P-E-R-E-Z or Z, whichever you prefer. 2.30 to 2.55 p.m. is presentation of WBU awards. Ah, they give out awards as well. And the session chair there is Lord Colin Lowe, and the presenter is William Rowland. Then we have... At 2.55, probably a little later because of the resolutions that are coming up. And that goes till 3 o'clock. In fact, we probably won't have these. Election results for XXX candidates, well, they've already been done. And it says, if needed. Session Chair William Rowland. Returning Officer Geoffrey Gibbs. Then let's turn over the page. And what do we find here? 3 o'clock p.m. to 3.20 p.m. Louis Braille... A eulogy, and session chair, hold on, session chair, Aubrey Webson, dear old Aubrey Webson, met him first in Kenya, lovely man. Session speaker, Euclid Herry, 3.20pm to 3.40pm, Louis Braille Bicentenary, yeah, session chair, Aubrey Webson again, and session speaker this time, representative from... Ooh, here we go again, Vincent. So, the first word is C-I-N-A-L, and then we got A-N-D-R, accented E, and Vincent. 3.40pm to 4.15pm, farewell to retiring officers and introducing the new team. And that is addressed by incoming president. Ah, no less, Marianne Diamond, incoming president. Approval of executive for 2008-2012. Session chair, William Rowland. 4:15 to 5 p.m. We have acknowledgements. There must be an awful lot of acknowledgements and conclusion of business. Ah. So, and then at 5 o'clock p.m. to 5:30 p.m., we have a closing ceremony. Ah. And that, dear listeners, is that. That's how the afternoon lines up. Talks about we will have a pianist in that ceremony. Now let me see whether it. No, it doesn't say. Hold on, let me see if it does. No, it doesn't say who the pianist is, unfortunately. Let me see if I can put that there. Who have we here? Well, who have we here? Someone who started the broadcasting off with me way back in 1800 and blah blah blah. Well, you can either do that or have the other mic, Chris. Oh, okay. No, if you've got that, if you can jump over to Marlena's chair there. Yes. Chris Gray, who started off with me at the Woman's Forum, it does seem years ago. It really does.
My God.
Right.
It seems like forever.
Yeah, that way. And for the benefit of those who really want to know, I did get my cell phone back. Thank goodness for that. I'm happy.
Did you get it some other way?
No, in the Lost and Found.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, they did a wondrous job.
If you heard the announcement, so we came back.
No, I was listening on phones to the session, so I didn't hear the announcement. Anyway, is that microphone on?
I wonder.
Yes, it is. It is.
Bang it around here a little.
Yeah, bang it around a bit. Why not? Matthew Horsball will get mad at you. Well, you're making too much noise. You're damaging speakers.
We have a fascinating morning. Resolutions are done quite differently at WBU than in ACB, aren't they?
Aren't they just?
This consolidating of ideas and
yes.
Kind of getting the sense of the group and then going off and rewriting. Oh, my goodness. ACBers would never stand.
Oh, I think not. And what I will do, I'm going to bring the house mic up so as for the last time we can hear the bell.
I think it's
great.
Very good. It is not a bad way of doing things, in my opinion. I mean, it emphasizes the idea of consensus really more than the ACB process. The thing that it may lack is a certain amount of exactitude, you know, in the language and the wording and so forth. But fascinating process to watch and compare to what we do in ACB.
Yes, isn't it? Isn't it just... Never make a quip at someone who might be listening. Matthew Horsball writes straight back to me. This, dear listener, is interactive radio at its best, I must admit. But, they do things different. And I still can't get over this business of all those in favour say aye. And that's it.
That's it.
And I guess a couple of times this morning, I was perfectly convinced that there weren't an awful lot of people who said aye. And you think, well, what about those who... But, you know, it seems to work, and that's fair enough.
It does seem to, and nobody complains.
No, indeed
and
not.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to start.
Oh, where's the bell?
Yeah, we missed the bell.
We missed the...
They didn't ring it.
No. That's a shame. The last time...
All we get to hear is a bunch of boring resolutions.
Oh.
Although in this next pack will be the quiet car resolution that Mitch and I wrote and submitted.
To start with,
you won't recognize
like
what we wrote, but the ideas are fine.
So first, is
that
Mrs.
is good.
Asvavi Nancy Amoso in the room?
Well
from
said.
Kenya?
Well said.
Excuse me, may I have your attention, please? I would like you to
sit
in your respective seats because we are going to make a very important announcement now. And we are going to reconvene now the resolutions committee session of this morning. We don't have much time, as you know, as we are behind time. So we need to start right now. Thanks very much.
There you are. And that's told them.
So, Asvavi Nancy from Kenya.
Absolutely. No, the thing is that by this time, if they get behind, you can't catch up the next day.
No,
You're going to do it.
6 o'clock, really till 5:30.
Yeah, till 5:30, really.
The banquet begins at 7, the transfers have to occur.
Yeah, and I've got an hour's packing up to do. Oh, that's a bit I hate.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, right. But, Chris, I probably won't get another chance to talk to you about this, just if we can sort of nip little bits in. Your thoughts on the whole week?
Well, it's been very much a learning week for me. This is my first General Assembly. I haven't been to one before, so to hear the topics that are discussed, some of the topics are the same things we talk about in the U.S., but the level of discussion is very different. The context is completely different in many cases.
Yes.
So learning about that has been really interesting and very productive for me.
Can you get a bit closer to that, Mike?
People seem very positive. Seem to have really enjoyed the week. And especially your smaller countries. Boy.
Yes.
They enjoy it,
don't they?
They're going back home with an incredible new energy and belief in what's possible.
Yeah, I'll be here once they start the actual session. I will be with you once they start the actual session.
Right where we left it.
In fact, we're doing it
I
now.
I think we're doing so it right now.
I'm going to leave you in the capable hands of Chris Gray if there's anything needed to be said while I go off and do another interview.
Transport and mobility.
Bye,
everybody. Before that, I would like to comment that we have been approached by the Low Vision Committee, and they said that it seems there has been a mistake within the final drafting that was put forward here and was passed in order to it was got back to the executive for further fine-tuning. So they have here the paper they meant to present, which was, it seems to me, not the one we have seen today. So what we're going to do just to solve this problem is give them an opportunity to read it, and if we are content with that, we can pass that one, and if not, we just get to what we passed this morning in order to get it back to the executive. So I give the floor to the chair of the Resolutions Committee.
Yes, thank you. I would like to say that by drafting this resolution on low vision, a misunderstanding might have come towards what kind of spirit we should carry on in the resolution. And in order to apologize for putting it forward in this way, I think it's very important that we now could compensate by seeing the draft that I know that the chair of the working group of low vision and other people of the Commission have been working very hard with under lunchtime. And so it can be presented for the Assembly, and we can afterwards vote on whether we think it could go in on the place of the other draft. So please, Raven.
Best practice for accessible events. Blind and partially sighted people strive toward a world accessible to all. The General Assembly provides a platform for the presentation of the WBU's vision, mission, and presentation of best practice. It is resolved that WBU, by modelling best practice in relation to accessible conferencing, achieves greater and independence for the blind and partially sighted participants. This can be achieved through providing accessible information, appropriate signage and navigation enablers. And it's just low vision representation. Despite best efforts to promote inclusion of partially sighted people's special needs within the WBU, additional action is required. It is resolved that WBU also devotes time, energy and resources in the development of awareness, research and service development to meet the needs of partially sighted people. WBU strives towards the recruitment and balanced participation of partially sighted people in all aspects of the work of the WBU and in the supporting strategies and structures. WBU encourages its members to establish low vision working groups to further develop strategies which address the needs and inclusion of partially sighted people and their national work.
Yes. Okay. So you have heard the reading out of a draft. Shall we vote? All in favour of...
Point of order, please.
Yeah.
I think it's Denmark.
Yes. I think what's your name?
Torkild Olsen. I'm the head of delegations.
Okay.
I think it's a little bit late to come with a revised resolution now. I don't think it's just for the process before dinner, and I think we should not take this into account. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see what others think about it. I think David Blythe wanted to talk. David?
Hello, Mr. Chairman. I don't understand the logic of this resolution. I don't believe that the World Blind Union has ever excluded people who are partially sighted or low vision. I thought we've been a very inclusive organisation. We've always believed that blindness means low vision. It means anyone who has a sight difficulty. Most of our organisations consider library services to have people with print handicap, and that means it covers everybody. I really believe that if we start making these distinctions, we're going to start splintering our organisation, and we'd be better to stay together as a simple organisation and accept the fact that blindness means people who have a sight difficulty. Thank you.
So I would then say that we have the draft that has now been read out, and we could vote on that. That is either that it is carried now and taken into the resolutions, or that it will be referred back and worked on further on by the Board of Officers and by the Working Group on Low Vision, as we decided before.
Yeah,
so you could... Okay, there are more speakers.
Yes, only two more, otherwise it's going to take too long this issue. I know it is a very important and very sensitive issue, because it is true that the majority of members of the union are low vision. That is true, but we need to have full consensus on passing this resolution as it has been amended, or just refer to what was approved this morning. I think France and then UK, Colin Lowe. So France, you have the floor.
I wanted
to take the floor because it seems to me that indeed this is something that has not been said in all meetings in the past, and that we now have created a particular space and given attention to the difficulties of visually impaired persons, but also given the experience we've had in different countries. And here I'm thinking of the work that has gone on for years in the specialized working group looking at partial sightedness. I think there are a number of issues that have not been raised here. We're talking particularly about children who are born visually impaired. We're thinking about the elderly. And it is a fact that the number of visually impaired persons is increasing because of the population becoming older. There are also persons who, between the ages of 20 and 60, suffer illnesses and end up with visual impairments, and frequently they have a lot of obstacles to overcome, and it's very difficult for them to get recognition from others. I don't want to speak at length on this. I think that would just be repeating work that's been done in the past by our friends from the European Commission on the issues of visual impairment. However, personally speaking, I feel withdrawn with regard to the resolution that, and I think that we really need to stress the fact that we know a lot more about what we can do for visually impaired persons, and I think that we do need to go a bit further in order to be more realistic and more effective in our relationship and participation with visually impaired persons. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Claude, for your comments. Colin, you have the floor.
Chairman, I don't think we can possibly accept this resolution. This isn't an amendment to what we saw before lunch. This is a completely different resolution, and it's completely out of order. This is a transparent attempt to suggest to the Assembly that what was plainly said in the previous motion was not what the Low Vision Group meant. But it was perfectly clear in the previous motion was quite clearly a separatist motion to have nothing to do with sighted guides and people who help us in that way and who are necessary to help us in our proceedings. And this is just a transparent attempt to cover up the fact that that's what the Low Vision Group intended initially. I think we should have nothing to do with this purported amendment, and we should refer the original one back.
Thank you, Colin, for your comments. I give the floor now to the chair of the committee for final comments.
Yes. Before we are voting, I would just like to add that, of course, the original draft and also, as I said, the full papers and the resolutions we have received on different themes will be sent over to the Board of Officers. So it will all go there. And there is now two options, either to take on the draft that we have heard that has been worked out, and either or to refer back the resolution for further work to the Board of Officers together with the Working Group of Low Vision. So should we now go for vote? And then I ask, now we are voting on the draft that was read to us here. And I would like to ask, all in favour of the draft under 5C, low vision, all in favour of that, saying aye? And then I ask, the ones who vote for referring this resolution or this draft resolution back to the Board of Officers and the Working Group of Low Vision, all in favour of that, saying aye?
Aye.
It's crystal clear. Thank
very
you very much.
Decisive okay. Vote.
We move to the next one, transport resolution. Mobility issues.
Transport mobility issues. A, mobility. Campaign at a global level for the introduction and implementation, taking into account the requirements of blind and partially sighted people and guide dog users. The General Assembly resolves. WBU officers, 2. Ensure public transport and built environment accessibility standards. Develop and promulgate jointly agreed policy statements on mobility, public transport, and the built environment. Support member organisations to campaign for the implementation of internationally agreed policies, standards, and objectives. Ensuring that the international airline industry permits blind and partially sighted persons to travel unaccompanied if they so choose. Ensure that adequate and appropriate assistance is provided within airports and on aircrafts, and that guide dogs are allowed to travel in the cabins with their handlers. Calling on all authorities to ban the introduction of urban design configurations where vehicles and pedestrians share the same space. Ensuring that GPS wayfinding technology is usable and affordable. Introducing international standards for escalator and automated walkway design. B, transport. Increasing popularity of quiet vehicles are a growing threat to the safe, independent travel of blind and partially sighted persons. The General Assembly resolves, WBU officers 2, all regions where large numbers of vehicles are in use to advocate for research into technologies and standards to identify independently vehicles while traversing streets or other areas where vehicles may be encountered. Calls for the United Nations and national governments to adopt a standard of sound adequate to alert pedestrians to the presence, speed, and direction of vehicles within the environment. That's the end of the mobility and transport.
Thank you. There's any concern about this one? No? Okay, those in.
Somebody wants
okay.
To go back. I don't know who they are.
Okay. What country wants to speak, please?
Hello, this is Sue Sharp from the United Kingdom delegation. I have no opposition to either parts of the resolution, but I think that perhaps in redrafting the resolution, we have perhaps muddled some of the text, and I would recommend to the WB officers to look back at the original text, in particular because in this resolution we are talking about guide dog owners and the handlers of guide dogs. Then there was a reference to working, where appropriately, with the International Guide Dog Federation, which I think is an important partnership opportunity that we shouldn't miss. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We will fine-tune the wording. Any other comment? Okay, all those in favour of passing this resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
The next category is Human Rights and the United Nations Convention. A. Albinism. This General Assembly, WBU, is appalled at the recent reports of persons with albinism being persecuted and even murdered in Tanzania. Wholeheartedly condemns such actions of violence and discrimination. It applauds the efforts of the Tanzanian government to stamp out such practices and urges the adoption of programs of albinism awareness as recommended by the World Health Organization, designed to combat superstitious beliefs, myths and misconceptions about people with albinism which underpin a culture of mistreatment. Request WBU to call upon its members to run the albinism awareness programs. B. The UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities came into force on the 3rd of May 2008. The General Assembly resolves that, recognising the critical importance of the promotion, ratification, implementation and monitoring of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, WBU officers put into place a broad-based UN and human rights mechanism with delegate budgeting allocation, ensuring proper representation from each of the regional unions, including developing countries and different political systems. This mechanism is to develop tools for the promotion, implementation and monitoring of the UN Convention aimed at public authorities, the WBU grassroots membership, the media and global and regional stakeholders and agents responsible for and or involved in implementing the Convention. WBU encourages its members to nominate blind and partially sighted persons for positions on government bodies and any bodies representing civil society that may be established in relation to the Convention. WBU encourages its members to participate in UN training seminars on shadow reporting and to share good practices, to develop partnerships for scientific research projects examining the impact of the Convention on blind and partially sighted persons, organise seminars and conferences on the Convention involving relevant stakeholders, create a section on the Convention in all WBU communication. That's the last one.
Okay, thank you very much. I think this is a very important one as well. Any concern about this one? No? Are we happy to pass this resolution? Those in favour say aye. Thank you very much. And now the last one. Vote of thanks.
Yes. I'm going to read it out. Votes of thanks. The participants of the 7th General Assembly of the World Blind Union, WBU, wish to extend wholeheartedly their warm thanks to our Swiss hosts and their partners, the speakers, the guests, the guides, the interpreters, the volunteers, the sponsors, and all those who have contributed to making this successful event possible. The General Assembly also wishes to thank its leadership over the past 4 years for the dedication they have shown in their work and wishes the incoming leadership every success for the next quadrennium. And I take it, but it's carried, the vote of thanks. And by that, I also want to thank you for taking so much active part in sending in resolutions, in dialoguing with us, and also in working with us during this session, amending things, and going on really trying to work on good documents that we could carry on for the future. Thank you very much on behalf of all my committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tina. So now we have our new resolutions. And just for your information, the next e-bulletin of the World Run Union is going to be focused only on this World Run Union General Assembly, and you will have all these resolutions finally fine-tuned with the word right wording, etc., accessible for you through that e-bulletin. It will also be within our website for you to consult at any time. I just wanted to say thanks very much indeed to all of you. Congratulations, Resolutions Committee, and congratulations this General Assembly. Thank you. And now I would like to hand the microphone for the chair of the next session for the presentation of commemorative publications. Please, Lord Colin Lowe, come up to the stage.
Just excuse me, sir. I have one small suggestion to make to the Resolutions Committee. I think from the next General Assembly, I'm K. Ramakrishna from India, I would request the committee to give the resolutions for our study at least one day before. Because now what happens is some of us are not very conversant with Braille, so it takes that much long time for us to read. So I would request that these resolutions could be given to the participants just one day earlier. Thank you.
Thank you. We take that comment and we will consider it for improving the way in which we can conduct General Assemblies every 4 years. Colin.
Thank you very much, Enrique. This is Colin Lowe. Now we're running a little bit behind. Nobody's fault. We've been working hard this morning, done a lot of good work, but now it's not time to play exactly, but we can get into a little more relaxed mode to celebrate some of our achievements. And we're going to do that to begin with by giving the floor to Sir John Wall. John, who's a great friend of the WBU, former president of EBU, and a great trooper, somebody who's for whom no job is too difficult for him to take on, somebody who's always willing to step forward and undertake some job which is too big or too difficult for anybody else. And he stepped forward on this occasion to write the history to date of the WBU in its first 25 years, with a little help from his friends, as I'm sure he would be the first to acknowledge. So I'm not going to waste any more of your time. I'm going to give the floor straight away to Sir John Wall to present this splendid publication to you. In fact, I'm going to hold it up so that those who can see it. This is wrong way round, I'm told. This is the result of John's labours, and No, I mustn't hold it up between me and the microphone, sorry. This is the result of John's labours, and for those who can't see, which is, of course, many of you, John will now tell you all about it. Are you ready to go, John?
Yes, I think I'm within shouting distance of the microphone, Mr. Session Chair. Can I thank you for the kind things you said about me? I certainly enjoy working and working in this sort of context. In May 2007, which seems a long time ago, it's only 18 months, William Rowland contacted me and gave me a task, and the book is the result of what he suggested and some suggestions of my own. What I plan to do very briefly is to first of all talk about how the book is structured and how it came into existence and its contents. Then I want to tell you something about its formats, the formats for which it is available, and also the languages which it's in. Then I will thank a few people who deserve to be thanked. And finally, I will tell those of you who haven't already got hold of a copy how you can get it in the format which you wish. William's original idea was, and that was worked upon, that the six presidents of WBU in its first 25 years, together with Pedro Zurita, the long-serving Secretary General, should contribute a memoir each of what they remembered of what they did and what they achieved. And in many countries, oral history is very much treasured, going round talking to people in England who remember World War One is a very interesting and productive source of historical material. And what we were going to do and what we launched on was getting oral history of WBU put actually down in writing. Now, as I say, there were six presidents and one secretary general. My first problem was to find the first president, Sheikh Abdullah Al Ghanim. Those of you who, like myself, knew him found him a fascinating character. And in his foreword to the book, William has made some comments about him, including the word flamboyant, which I think is well chosen. Unfortunately, after a lot of search, we were unable to find him, so I ghosted his memoir. He had written, or somebody had written for him, a very detailed account of his four-year term as the first president of WBU, and I mashed it about and shortened it a little bit, and that is in the book. I was luckier with everyone else. I'm glad to say they were all alive and well, and of course you heard from each one of them yesterday afternoon, except William, who I suppose you'd heard enough from him in other respects, so he didn't offer his comments yesterday, but there he is. Now, the book itself, having told you that general outline, it seemed to me as editor-in-chief that just seven memoirs would not be particularly clever. So I decided, with William's approval, to do the following. I wrote a chapter called Life Before WBU, and that really covered, I think it was someone else who mentioned our old friend Homer, the original blind man, who, of course, didn't write his things down and certainly didn't use Braille, but at least we mostly know what he said. Starting with him and going through to 1984, which was, of course, the year when WBU was founded. The second chapter deals with the founding of the WBU. We then have, as I say, seven chapters covered by the contributors, including the ghost, and ending up with what I call End Thoughts, which is a very short chapter saying my own feelings after having achieved what turned out to be quite a marathon task. Quite a marathon because although each of these contributors was a very worthy, hard-working and conscientious and loyal person, actually getting them to deliver the goods on time wasn't as easy as it might have been, but I don't grumble about that. They did it in the end, and I think you'll find that the result is worthwhile. One of the things which I did do, of course, was to do some linking, because each of the contributors started off from the beginning of their... Well, I think Euclid actually started off the day he was born, but others started off the day they were elected. But you'll find usefully in the book that we do record... I do record at the beginning of each of the chapters the way in which the individuals were elected. It was very odd. The founding assembly was full of consensus, except for one of the honorary officers who they had a runoff, which was won by the Russian Boris Zimin. But the second general assembly, the one in 1988, was possibly more contentious as far as elections were concerned than we've been recently in our first and second vice presidents. So once we did have a first and second vice president in Toronto, we managed to get lots of voting going. But there were other things which needed linking, partly because things had happened between one presidency and the other. Most significantly, I think, was the subject of the banning of laser weapons, which it happened during David Blythe's watch, and David very reasonably deputed others who were nearer Vienna than himself to go and do it. Which brings me on really to my old friend Duncan Watson, because one of his achievements during his own watch was to address the General Assembly of the United Nations, and I felt that happened in 1992, only 8 years after the creation of WBU, but it did mean that the United Nations were taking us seriously, and of course, much more recently, they've been taking us even more seriously. But you'll find in the appendices to the book three appendices which I thought would be useful. Number one is the original constitution of the World Blind Union, which I think David was talking about working on, and I think its terms are useful because it does show what the founding fathers were aiming at, and they were aiming basically at what has now become the jingle, nothing about us without us. It meant that blind people there on in were going to take a leading role. I don't say not necessarily a major role, but a leading role in running their own affairs. The second appendix is Duncan's Duncan's speech to the United Nations, and the third appendix is merely a list of the actual table officers for the six quadrennia which the book covers, and I thought that would be a useful guide, so that if you want to know when you're halfway through chapter 7, which is Pedro's chapter, whoever was in charge at what some time, all you have to do is flick over to appendix C and appendix 3 and you'll find out. That's really as much as I need say about the book, except that it is just over 31,000 words. William's original provision was that each contributor should write about 2,500 words. I think the first person, who was called Sheikh Abdullah Al Wall, he wrote about 3,500, but there was also some a shorter one who shall remain nameless. But the other thing which I was anxious to ensure, that as well as words, for the benefit of the sighted world, we should have photographs, and there are photographs of all of the participants, including Sheikh Abdullah, which is a relatively recent photograph of him looking much more like an Arab than a WBU president, but that's his choice. So you will be able to see that. Now, I think I've talked enough about the contents, except to say that I think you will find them very interesting. Regrettably, when you are limited to 31,000 words, or what I limited myself to, you have to be selective, and I'm quite sure that there will be people who have lived through the last 25 years who will say, goodness gracious, he left that out. And I did leave things out because there wasn't room to put them in. But I think there's a reasonable selection of stuff in there to satisfy people's tastes. So can I now move on to the question of language and format? Sometimes when people allude to language, they are talking about clean language and dirty language. All this language is clean, I can assure you. And the book is being published in English, Spanish, and French. And that will have the benefit of ensuring that most people will be able to have access to it. On the issue of format, we decided to do what we call a multimedia, and I will get round to thanking RNIB, but it was RNIB's idea. And those of you who haven't come across multimedia before should know that it works like this. You first of all have a clear print version, in other words, an ordinary inkprint book. But in the back of it, there is an envelope, and in the envelope, there is a CD-ROM. And on that CD-ROM, there are files, an audio DAISY file, a file which enables you to create Braille, a file which will give you clear print PDF, and a text file. Now, what that really means is that if you pick one up, and I'm going to talk about how you pick one up in a moment, if you pick one up and take it away with you, provided you've got IT equipment at home, not necessarily in your own bedroom, but in your own association, you can easily get a Braille version. When I say Braille, in deference to one or two Scandinavians who don't like grade 2 Braille, we've actually done it both in grade 1 and grade 2 English Braille, and that's in the English version. Of course, in the French and Spanish versions, there will be a Braille file which will produce French and Spanish Braille. So that's what there is. What we are saying to you as well is this. Those of you who don't have the necessary facilities back home to create the type of book you want, you create a Braille one, you can fill in an order form. I think every delegate badge had an order form. You can fill this in. Hopefully you will give the name and address you want it sent to, and you can order a Braille book of grade 1 or grade 2 or French or Spanish as ever, and these will be sent to you by RNIB, by Articles for the Blind Post from London. Now, there is a proviso about this, because RNIB has to produce a lot of Braille, and it has to be careful. Sorry, did you want to say something? No. No, it produces a lot of Braille. And what we are saying is this, that if you want something from the RNIB, you're very welcome to have it. You will have it free of charge. The book itself is free of charge at the moment. But will you please get your order in so it arrives at Judd Street by the 30th of September, and there is a kind of penalty to this, which is that if you don't get it in by then, we shall ask you to pay £12.95 in sterling. Mind you, sterling is sinking so fast at the moment, it may not be worth much by then. But what I was going to say specifically was that this is for one copy. If you want additional copies, we will ask you to contribute the cost, which I don't think is excessive, considering what it is. Now, can I conclude this section of my... I've only got to thank people after that. That will take a long time. But what I want to conclude by saying is this, that RNIB did bring over to England... Bring over here... quite enough copies of the book to hand round. And as I sit here, at the far left-hand corner of this room is James from RNIB, who's got a pile of these books with the CD inside them, and he's happy to hand them out. He'd rather not give you more than one each, but that's by the way. I believe there's also one or two Braille versions in Braille, English Braille Grade 1. Now, that's what's available here. I believe there may be some French CDs, CD-ROMs. I'm not sure about that. But anyhow, that's what's available. And the people who have picked up copies have been very kind and said nice things to me about it. And I have been doing what Harry Potter does. I've been signing, not Harry Potter on it, but my own name for anyone who wants an autographed copy. I commend it to you. I've greatly enjoyed doing it. But what I really must do is to conclude by thanking a number of people and organisations. And the first and most, first and easiest person to thank was our President, William Rowland, who, apart from giving presidential instructions to people to get on with it, did a brilliant job himself. You'll find his contribution very, very interesting and attractive, and I do want to thank him for all the support he gave me. The next person I would like to thank is the Chief Executive of WBU, Penny Hartin, who put at my disposal the services of her office to get information. The third person, inevitably, is Pedro Zurita. Pedro is a person who sits in an ivory tower somewhere in Madrid, and if you go and approach him, he will help you. So I on his behalf, if anybody wants any information, Pedro is a human database. The next people I should, as a group, I should thank are the contributors, because they were they were very cooperative once some of them got into getting things written. So I am really grateful to them for having done their job so effectively. The next person is someone who's not here, but who is known to many of you who've had dealings with RNIB in the past, when she was RNIB's international secretary, and that's Carol Bird. Carol, again, is a walking database, but she also had access to the RNIB archives and spent a lot of time digging around, getting the sort of information which I needed for the first two chapters. And then I move on, really, to three organisations. The chairman of one of them, Colin, is sitting on my right. RNIB, I would like to thank very warmly, not only for their support to me, but also for the considerable financial investment they've made in this book. It's turned out to be quite expensive. They were happy to do it. They were happy to do many things for WBU, but I think WBU should certainly thank them, and I do on WBU's behalf. Then there is the Canadian National Institute of the Blind, who looked after the French, and I don't know whether he's in the room now, but I was able to thank Monsieur Jacques Côté from CNIB. I'm told he's 6'6", so if he's here, you can probably see him. I thanked him for the work he did, and of course it was done as a contribution to the cost. And last, but distinctly not least, Anthe, who helps very much with the Spanish translation. So can I conclude, Mr. Session Chairman, by thanking everybody for listening to me. I hope you'll find the book as much fun as I found writing it. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much indeed, John. And as you can all tell from that, John is an absolute glutton for work and does it all very well indeed. When we recently had our EBU General Assembly, John very kindly volunteered. It was volunteered, wasn't it, John, to do the minutes. And when he'd finished the minutes, a very long job, and sent them to me, I thanked him very much and said, can I put you down for next time? And straight away, he said yes. So we're all very much in John's debt for very many things. And I'm sure it's going to be a very worthwhile publication.
I'll escape into the...
Yes, by all means. Now, we're going to go straight on to Enrique, who has also been producing a publication, which I think will also be extremely worthwhile for the WBU in its different way. It's complementary to what John has done, and so I'm sure will be very valuable. It's a 200th anniversary of the birth of Louis Braille, a promotional book, and I'll pass the floor straight away to Enrique to tell you all about it, and he's going to speak in Spanish.
Muchas gracias. Thank you.
Colin.
Muy buenas tardes.
Good afternoon to you, dear friends. Very quickly, I would like to present to you a book which you have before you. We have circulated on each one of the tables of this assembly, this book, so that you can have a copy thereof. We've produced it in English, French, and Spanish. Over these last 4 years, we've spoken about the importance of improving our communication, our internal and external communications, which is the same thing. We need to be able to relate to each other inside the WBU and outside the WBU also. I sincerely believe, as chair of the Communications Committee of the WBU, that perhaps we have made more progress over the last few years in our internal communication, which is the basis upon which we can structure ourselves, we can work with better knowledge of what each and everyone is doing, and setting up the team which today represents the WBU, representing 160 or 170 million people in the world with low vision or who are blind in the world. However, we have a great challenge before us, our external communication, that is. This book, unlike the book that has just been presented to you by our friends from the RNIB in particular, John Ward, which is for internal knowledge, this book here we're presenting to you this afternoon is called A Universal Voice. And it is a universal voice because its aim is to speak to the outside of the W, to this whole universe which doesn't know about the fact that we exist, and which, at the end of the day, it is in our interest to communicate to the outside world. This afternoon and this morning, we looked at the resolutions which have been adopted. And clearly, they state that we have many objectives which, over the next 4 years, we aim to meet: the celebration of Louis Braille's anniversary, taking advantage of this 200th anniversary, to promoting the knowledge of the aspects of the Convention of the Rights of Peoples with Disabilities, the CPRD, so that people and countries can add their voice on their ratification to the CPRD. Also, we have the need to lobby and to bring about changes so that particular WBO policies can be made known to international organizations such as the Universal Postal Union, the UPU, inter alia, and also to the UN and the UN system and the UN agencies. They are our reference point where we make our claims. But we also have a lot of work to be done at lobbying level, nationally, that is, domestically, each and every one of you in your respective countries, through your national organizations, that is where you can better disseminate information about the objectives which we have been assessing and adopting in this General Assembly. As I said, we have 4 years before us, and we need to open up more to the outside world to promote our visibility to the outside world. In this respect, we would like to provide for you a new tool, namely a publication designed specifically to help us to promote the WBU to the outside world. This publication, as I have said, is designed for that purpose in mind. It's produced by ONCE, 100% produced by ONCE, and with the cooperation of a certain number of people I'll tell you about later on, and with the Communications Committee support also, and we have been monitoring the whole process of this publication. The book you have in front of you has the map of the world on the front of it, with different colours, countries in different colours, and also with this idea of universality in mind. It's called A Universal Voice, that's the title, and to the right of it we have the big logo of the World Blind Union. If you go through it page by page, we're going to look at what it contains. We have an introduction, what's the aim. It has three chapters, one chapter specifically devoted to the Braille bicentenary. We have attempted to use words and terms that are as user-friendly as possible, that won't become obsolete very quickly. They're timeless, so that this can be useful beyond the 4 years. We have 7,000 copies of this in English and French and Spanish, and we also have a CD, a compact disc, at the back of the book, which is in a small pocket at the back of the book, and we also have this separately. So, first chapter, the bicentenary of Braille, the logic of an alphabet. We have a number of photos contained. We have a blind person crossing a street with a guide dog. We have an elderly person with low vision who is learning how to use a CCTV, a magnifying CCTV. We have an instructor teaching somebody how to use a cane, a white stick. Moving on, page 10, we have a statue of Louis Braille. We have the Braille alphabet below that photo. There are some important sentences used there. There's one I particularly like, which says, "Without Braille, I would never have known what shapes and forms were like," and page 13, "Without Braille, I would never have known the shapes and color schemes of a poem." Then we move on to the universality of Braille, the importance to promote Braille as a unique tool. We're not only referring to these 200 years since the birth of Braille, but we're also promoting his invention, Braille. There is some photos of Braille's birthplace, page 18, and we have the whole history of the life of Louis Braille since Louis Braille from his birth to his death. We then have page 21, who we are, what is the WBU, so what are our objectives, what are our achievements. This is where the title is presented within this copy, A Universal Voice, and this refers to specifically what the WBU represents, page 22. So we have our team, who are we? We have photos of children in school, achievements of the WBU, page 25, since its creation in 1984 to date. There's a photo of an assembly, page 26, General Assembly, and we have listed there all the objectives and the future challenges of the WBU, together with a world map on page 28 and 29. The third and final chapter is the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, page 30. We speak about the role of the WBU within the convention itself. We speak about the importance of the convention for us, page 33. What does it mean for us, the blind? Equal rights and equal opportunities, unique needs and equal rights. Key elements of the convention for people who are blind or low vision, page 35. And finally, We have a photo of the United Nations headquarters on page 39, and this is the end of the chapter with the convention of the role of the WBU in the future. So, changing what it means to be blind, that's the logo, the motto of the last chapter. Now, this is the book. It's a good quality book. That will be useful to you to present to any person, any person in authority, any institution in your own countries with whom you might want to make representations in the coming years. Our aim is for this to be a tool, a small tool for you to help you, a useful tool to help you to promote the promotion of these three aspects which are contained within the book, namely next year, the bicentenary, a key year that should be used by us. Secondly, the World Blind Union, for us to be able to capture sponsoring. We have a resolution on this. This is fundraising. We need more fundraisers. We need to guarantee the sustainability of our future, of the work of our WBU in the future with external sources of funding. That's perhaps one of the most important aims. And this humble contribution of ours is going to help us to better visualize give us better visibility to the outside world, in which the image is paramount, because a photo is better than 1,000 words. Well, we don't exactly agree with that because of our condition, but that's what they say, so that's what we need. So for the outside world, we need these tools to give us better visibility so that people can know what we are and what we represent. Let me conclude now by saying that in this book, in each of these copies, in English, French, or Spanish, at the end you have, as I said before, you have a pocket with a CD contained therein, and you have the three versions on each of the CDs, the English, French, and Spanish versions on each CD, and each version, the PDF, they are PDF version, and Word version, and ASDI, accessible version also. So we have a number of accessibility options and three different options for the languages, for each one of the CDs. So I'd like to express my sincere thanks to the people who have designed and done this. First of all, to ONCE for having funded this from beginning to end to give us another tool to be able to help us to do our work. I would like to thank the collaborators who have made it possible to draft and to bring this to a successful conclusion. Brigitte Boblum, Barry Durand, Brigitte Sorita, Tony Aston, and Penny Hart. And I'd like to thank all these people and thank all those people who, in one way or another, have been actively cooperating from their offices and from my own office to the publication of this. So thank you all, the collaborators. And let me conclude by saying that you have now, as soon as you leave this room, immediately outside this room, before the escalators to go up to the first floor, you have a number of boxes with around between 1,000 and 1,500 copies of these. And my intention is that you take as many as you can that will fit in your bags. They are entirely free, and you can use these. You can take them away with you in your suitcases so that during the coming year, you use them. The more you take away today, the easier it will be for us when the time comes. Well, we won't need to send them to you the more you take away with you today. So, as I said, there are boxes in English, boxes in French, boxes in Spanish, and there are more than 1,500 copies of these books this afternoon, and I really hope that you can use them, and I hope that 2009, the forthcoming year, is fruitful for all of us. Thank you. I hope that next year is very fruitful for all the blind persons of the world as we celebrate the Braille anniversary and in the seminars and all the encounters that you might have with the outside world. And I really do hope that you use fully this year, 2009, because 200 years of Braille anniversary only happens every 2 centuries. That's what people say. So good luck to you all, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed, Enrique. You were kind enough to send me
a pre-publication copy by email, and I'm sure it's a very impressive publication. That it'll look very impressive when it appears in hard copy as it does now. I'm looking forward to picking up my copy. It'll be a splendid promotional tool for WBU, as you say, and I would like to add my thanks to those which you have modestly expressed to ONSE for undertaking the funding and production and translation of this splendid publication as just one of the many services which the Spanish organization, Spanish National Organization of Blind People renders to WBU, and indeed I would say to EBU as well. So very, very many thanks from us all for that. Let's show our appreciation once again. Thank you very much, Enrique. And now we're going to move seamlessly on to the next part of the programme. I'm still in the chair, but we're going to move to the presentation of WBU awards, and the President, for another hour or so, William Rowland, is coming to make these presentations. So, William, when you're in your seat and ready, we'll give the floor to you whenever you tell me you're ready to go. I'll just do a little audio description. William is coming to the platform, getting into his place at the moment. He's here. Are you ready, William?
I'm just jumping in for 2 seconds. Two of my friends are going to go around to distribute the allowance for the sponsored delegates because they didn't come and pick them up. Thank you.
Okay. Is William ready? Okay, William, I think you're ready now.
Yes.
So over to you. Thank you very much.
Chairperson Colin, delegates, it is my privilege to recommend to you recipients of the awards. We have two awards that I'm going to refer to. The first one is life membership of the WBU. An awards committee comprising myself, Marianne Diamond, and Enrique Perez, supported by Penny Harton as CEO, received the nominations. All nominations were found in order and appropriate and deserving, and our recommendations went to the WBU executive. And the WBU executive recommends to this General Assembly the following life membership awards: Africa, Chief Okobanjo, recommended by Nigeria and further recommended by the WBU executive. I think I'll go through them all. Okay. I'll give you the whole list. It happens, and this was not planned, that we have one nomination from each region. So there are 6 awards. Asia, recommended by India, Mr. Kaul, and recommended to you by the WBU executive. Asia Pacific, recommended by Singapore, Kwa Cheng Hock, and recommended to you by the WBU executive. Europe, a recommendation from Sweden, Kiki Nordstrom. Latin America, a recommendation from Argentina, Judith Wasowski. North America, Caribbean, recommendation from the United States, Dr. Susan Spungen. These are our recommendations, and I call for your approval by acclamation. And congratulations to these very worthy recipients who've served us long and well. The second award is the Louis Braille Medal, which it is provided in the Constitution, no more than two can be presented at any time. And there have in the past been very rare recipients. We have received two nominations, but the executive have taken the decision to keep nominations open so that we can receive further nominations rather to make this award in the bicentenary year of Louis Braille. I call for your approval of this recommendation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, William. I think that's the end of my stint, and we're...
Colin, my information was that the certificates weren't available. They are, so I'd like to present them.
Go ahead, William.
Yes. I apologise for information. Chief Akubanji, while he's on his way, and if all recipients could come forward. Our chief is very colourfully robed.
Is this William is doing the audio description now.
Yeah, thank you very much. My government representative is here, Federal Government of Nigeria, to thank you for this award.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Here we are, chief.
Thank you.
I presented it to Chief Akubanji, who is accompanied by a government representative of Nigeria.
The representative of Nigerian government come forward and give vote of thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm afraid there won't be time for speeches, Chief.
Okay.
Because right. Of the, but thank you, sir, for being with us. It is much appreciated. Mr. Cole? Okay, Kua Cheng Hock is next with me. Okay. Cheng Hock. A little bit forward here.
Here we are.
Yeah. We're taking pictures. Where's the award?
It's Cheng Hock, yeah?
Yeah. This is for Cheng Hock, right? Yeah. Well done, Cheng.
Thank you very much. Can I say something to the audience?
No, we won't have time for speeches. Yes. Next one is Dr. Spungen. Susan? You've worked very hard and long for that. Thank you. Judith Wasowski. Hi, Judith. Yes. Okay. Gigi.
Yes.
And that's very hard to receive it without a speech, Kiki, but here we go.
Thank you very much, William. Thanks a lot. Thanks very much.
Kiki, stand with it,
stand with it.
Stand
with it. And Mr. Mittal is going to receive for Mr. Carl. And Mr. Runta with him. Thank you.
Dr. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank Mr.
you,
William. Also here.
Thank you, William.
Thank you.
Thank you, friends. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Chairman, that concludes this part of the program.
Thank you, William. Well, in that case, now I do vacate the chair in favour of the President, in favour of William, who's going to take over for our next session. You going to come here, William?
Yes.
The people were asking, we have two sections, the orology and the rebrail by center. Is it possible to switch those two? To have first the bicentenary and then the oilology, because okay. The people have to leave.
Well, let me speak to Dr. Harry first.
Thank you and good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you. We've come to a very important part of the celebration, and where we are going to remember and eulogize one of the great inventors of all times. Sitting next to me is Dr. Euclid Harry of Canada, the CNIB, the World Blind Union, and the world. Dr. Harry, I have known for a very long time and has been very involved as an advocate and an avid reader and advocate for Braille. Dr. Harry is going to help us remember the contribution that Louis Braille made in changing the lives of all of us who are blind and visually impaired and see Braille as a tool of literacy and communication. I present to the assembly to remind us of the great work and life of Louis Braille, Dr. Euclid Harry. Dr. Harry.
Well, Mr. Chairman, delegates, honorary life members, and other distinguished guests, And thank you, Aubrey, for the warmth of your introduction. For indeed, Aubrey and I started in Antigua together some very long time ago, and it's been a great reward for me to have seen his career grow. I should say, too, when I received this invitation, I considered it long and hard. A, because it's a near impossible task to honor the memory and life of Louis Braille in a few short minutes. And also because in retirement I did decide that major speeches and conferencing was a thing in my past. However, this was an obligation, a call to history, and I'm deeply honored to Dr. Rowland and the officers and to Penny Harton for this invitation. Now, I'm going to give you a few things, and then I want to explain how I propose we will deal with this. I want to suggest to you that Braille200.ca, the Canadian program website, will next week have the entire text of this 1,200-word presentation written in part to a greater audience that will be published when I speak in Paris on January the 4th at the international conference there. So if you go to the Braille 200 website at Humanware, there are copies of material there, and our elements of our program that we're working with the WBU and hoping that we can build on what our other friends are doing. I titled this presentation, Six Dots That Changed the World. You can't say it much more simple than that, Remembrance of Louis Braille. And it really begins from the years that I went to the garden in that small home, sat and refreshed myself and thought about this man and his genius. I wanted to get to know him better, to touch things that perhaps he had held in his own two remarkable hands. Born in January 4, 1809, in this modest small village just east of Paris, by the age of 15, Louis Braille had already achieved greatness. He, of course, could not have known in his lifetime that his invention would bear his name or that he would touch untold millions of lives, that he would give liberation through literacy, empowerment and economic security to, again, untold and uncountable generations. He would give to people who are blind the knowledge and empowerment that would lift them from poverty, support their families, and be part of that community. I came to know Louis Braille as a highly talented, gifted musician and educator. He also had a quality that isn't often spoken of in literature, and that was his persistence. His persistence despite incredibly bad health and the life in Paris in the early part of the 19th century. I decided that in trying to find a memorial, and how would we remember him? Well, I broke it into three centuries of Braille. The first century was really accessible to young blind children in France and around the world who attended schools for the blind, because unlike their counterparts, they had access, and adults in poorer classes did not have access to literacy. In the second century, Braille became more widely used, and it became produced massively through presses and mechanical writers. And then now in the digital age of computers, there were some who predicted that this would be the death of Braille and all of the codes as we've known them. I'm here to tell you today that nothing can be farther from the truth. We now have the means through web access devices to produce Braille in any home, schoolhouse, community, through presses, mechanical means, or if necessary, probably taking notes by the slate and stylus, his tools that are our tools. I finally all thought I needed to leave with you today a powerful and visible tribute. And I really struggled with that till one day, not long ago, it occurred to me that we already have one. It reminded me of when I went to the great Cathedral of St. Paul's in Paris, and beneath the dome is a brass ring that bears a Latin inscription surrounding the tomb of its famed architect, Sir Christopher Wren. If you should seek a memorial, the inscription reads in part, you must look about you. I suggest to you now that in all times, in all places, when you see a blind child or person reading a text of Braille, two hands gliding gracefully over a page, you have the living memorial. It can be no more powerful than that. We're very sorry, and of course understand, that Louis Braille cannot be here in person for us to thank him, which would have been the ideal thing. Well, 200 years is a big lifespan. But we're not too concerned. But we have millions of lives. We have 2 centuries of his great gift to humankind. And we have still the 6 magic dots that change the world. For our souls and spirits and minds and hearts, that we might in some way record from all time, from this city in Geneva, from this 7th General Assembly, I would invite each of you to stand in your place and let us give a resounding applause that should echo across all of the centuries of Braille to come. Louis, we thank you from our heart and our mind.
And people are on their feet and applauding for Louis Braille with applause that not only echo across the centuries, but due to the partnership with Vision Australia and ACB Radio, they echo around the world on the internet.
They do indeed.
And I would invite you in your place to make noise, stand up,
awesome,
do something.
Thank you.
To
and remember the power of the dream in Melbourne when we see you in Paris, those of you who can be there. And we're doing this now because the blind of the world cannot all be in Paris in January. But Terry Kelly has a new song that we will release to the world then. Watch for it. And it's called Merci Louis. Thank you, Louis.
There you are. You heard it here first.
Merci, Euclid.
And we'll get that on the cafe sometime.
Terry Kelly is the person who... I've had on my music show, and he writes a lot of songs about uplifting and daring to try. His most famous one is The Power of the Dream, changing what it means to be blind.
To whom Braille means everything in literacy and their life. Thank you again. We now move into to another presentation. We're going to ask Vincent Michel from France to bring us up to date and give us information around the bicentennial, and he will be speaking to us about the events and activities of the celebration of Braille 200. Vincent.
Monsieur le Président, Madame la Présidente, chers amis.
Chairman, Madam President, dear friends, I think that you are all convinced, as I am, that on January 4th, 1909, in the small town of Couvray, if a small child had not been born there at that time by the name of Louis, and if this small child had not lived through the painful, difficult experiences that were his, and if that child had not shown his abilities, his knowledge, his capacity for invention and creativity that he had, well, without all of that, we would not be here today. We who've come from the five continents of the planet for the 7th General Assembly of the World Blind Union. But I'm not going to add anything further about the life of our joint benefactor following the excellent words that have just been spoken. I will just quite simply say a few words to you about the event that we've envisaged in France to commemorate. And we have been able to count on all of our citizens in preparing to commemorate this genius, Louis Braille. First of all, I'd like to highlight the will that has gone into preparing this event so that it be as open as possible. And under the auspices of the National Council for the Blind and the Ambiope, this is what has brought together the major French associations to jointly prepare for this commemoration. And this is what has meant that the CINAHL committee, which I have the honor of presiding over, has brought together a number of European committees. And if you would like, you still have the opportunity, and we still have space for you, if you would like to make your contribution in preparing for these celebrations. And the second thing I'd like to highlight is our desire to make this year one of memory, and at the same time to make it a useful year that will, in time, make it possible to further the cause of the blind and the partially sighted throughout the world. Now, this bicentenary year in France is one that we're going to organize in three parts. We're going to go through these three parts, and there will be one major highlight that I will come to in a moment. Now, the first part, in January 2009, we're going to have first and foremost the 4th of January, and we will have the official celebration of the bicentenary of Louis Braille's birth in Paris with an official ceremony at the Pantheon. That would be on the afternoon of the 4th of January with the presence of the highest international and national authorities. And of course, we will have the major leaders of the WBU present as well. Now, this day of January 4th will conclude with a large concert at Notre Dame in Paris with Jean-Pierre Leguay, a famous organist. He is the organist at Notre Dame. And this is a concert that will be made up of works composed by major blind musicians, and then for those who wish, there will also be a Catholic Mass given at the National Institute for the Young Blind. This is the institute where Louis Braille himself was first a student and then a teacher. And then immediately after this day, January 4th, there will be a major seminar, Braille is Six Dots in the Future. This will be organized by our friends from the National Institute of the Young Blind and others. And this seminar will make it possible to take stock of the position of Braille in the world today and the major developments that have come about. And in addition to this seminar, which will take place in the context of UNESCO, there will also be an exhibition making it possible to discover the origins of Braille and also to get an insight into all the developments that have taken place since Louis Braille gave us this fantastic invention. And the second major part of 2009 will be the seminar held from the 18th to the 20th of June in 2009, a seminar held in Colevray. This is going to be a much more general seminar, perhaps with more media attention. It will take place in Couvray, in the place where Louis Braille was born. And I'd like to point out that in this commune, we've got Euro Disney located, but I'd like to promise you that it will not be Mickey Mouse who will be giving the inaugural speech, but the fact that we have Euro Disney present gives us a double advantage. Firstly, that we can make use of modern facilities adapted to the handicapped, and also means that we can welcome a large number of people. And secondly, a further advantage is that in addition to the seminar, we will also have an exhibition which, too, will exhibit a number of various technologies. And we certainly hope that many visitors who come to Euro Disney for entertainment will be able to get a slight insight into the world of the blind at this same time. So I think this is a major event for the public. And then the third event on this day in Colevray will be made up of blind people today giving their testimony of their lives today and their integration in the workplace. And we will also have a day and a part which is going to be focused on the media and access to the media. And then the third part is that in October 2009, we wish to draw the attention of national parliaments and also the European parliaments, and why not go as far as the United Nations. As I say, we would like to draw their attention to a number of recommendations and proposals that might come out of this Colevray seminar. We could call this the Colevray Charter, and I think that this could serve as inspiration, or we could use as inspiration the major resolutions that we have passed at the 7th General Assembly of the World Blind Union today. And then the highlight that I mentioned a moment ago is going to be the roaming exhibition, which will exhibit the origins of Braille and all modern developments. It will be organized in the three official languages of the WBU, English, French, and Spanish, and it will move about through the major French, European, and why not world cities, if you so wish. And two further points I'd like to mention. We hope that on the occasion of the seminar in Colevray, we'd like to organize a large concert using well-known blind musicians. We've already contacted Stevie Wonder. I don't know whether this well-known American singer will grace us with his presence in Paris on June 20th, 2009. We'll know more about that in a few weeks' time. In any event, we're in contact with him. And then finally, William Braille gave us writing, and dear friends, we want for you to write for him. We would like that on June 20th, 2009, that we be able to deposit a gold or golden book with your names in it, your first names, your signatures, your places of origin, and perhaps some words that you will have written in your languages, words that, of course, will be transcribed into Braille, and words that will be your testimony that you wish to pay your tribute to this great inventor. In the days to come, you will get information about how you can participate in this golden book. I misspoke, I don't mean a black book, I mean a golden book. As I say, we'll give you information about how you can make your contribution to this book. There will be a small financial contribution that will be requested of you, which will help to finance all of these events. And today, I'd like to issue you with a challenge. Here we are in 2008, we will soon be entering into 2009, and I'd like to launch the following challenge to you, that we attain 2,000 signatures from around the globe to pay tribute to Louis Braille. I am confident that all of you will meet this challenge so that with the new president of the World Blind Union, we will be able, on June 20th, 2009, in the house of Louis Braille, that we will be able to deposit this book paying tribute to this ingenious inventor. So this brings me pretty much to a close. I'll just say that, of course, all of this requires organization, and we need sponsors. We're seeking those out. We have had one disappointment, which I'll share with you, and that is that the company Microsoft chose not to participate by financially sponsoring this event. This has disappointed us because they were the they are the biggest software producer in the world. So, dear friends, this is what I wanted to say. Thank you very much for allowing me to present to you and to say a few words about our celebrations for the bicentenary. I think that this event is going to cross the borders, go beyond France. Enrique Perez has said this is something that is of global interest to us. I certainly look forward to seeing many of you in Paris. In Paris on the 4th of June and in Colouvray in June to celebrate with us and in order to show the world of the sighted what the blind are capable of, making use of this magnificent invention that Louis Braille gave to us. Thank you very much. And I look forward to continuing to serve the world of the blind next year.
Merci, Monsieur Michel.
You're listening to final coverage of the 7th General Assembly of the World Blind Union from Geneva.
Join with you
in this is ACB Radio World.
For the celebrations next year, many countries have already begun to make preparation and begun to roll out activities. We look forward to the events in January, in June, and in October, and I've always wanted my name in a golden book, so we would look forward to that as well. Many thanks again, and we wish you lots of luck in the events next year. Thank you. This ends my session, Mr. Chair. Mr. President.
That's Aubrey Webson chairing that last session.
I think you'll agree that that was another of several highlights we've enjoyed this week. And perhaps I should mention why Aubrey was chairing. Aubrey is a chairperson of the World Braille Council, which is part of the World Blind Union. We are exactly on time. And we come now to a farewell to the retiring officers and introduction of the new team. But first things first, and that is farewell to the retiring officers. It is a small stage. So in a moment I'm going to ask the outgoing table officers to join me, but first of all, I do not have words really adequately to acknowledge and acknowledge the contribution of the table officers, of the officers, inclusive of the regional presidents, and the executive. All in their respective roles have contributed to our success, supported by at first the staff at ONSAE and latterly by our very own staff in Toronto, Penny and Catherine, and of course in each of our cases back home further staffing. So it is a really a worldwide network and team that carries the World Blind Union forward from quadrennium to quadrennium, I would believe with increasing momentum. And I'm now going to invite the outgoing table officers, please, to come and join me on stage. We'll take a photograph and then I'll invite one of them to speak.
They're all coming up to the stage for the obligatory photograph. You're listening to ACB Radio World's coverage of the 7th General Assembly, which is drawing gently to its close. You've still got time to get anything in at convention at acbradio.org, either email or MSN. You'll pot it up if you wish. No? Okay. And we've loved hearing from people throughout the course of the week. And I hope that you've sort of virtually been here, which is what we are trying to achieve. And I hope it is coming over that way. Are all clustered on the stage. Haven't seen a flashbulb go off yet. I'm sure it will. Don't forget, this day can be heard over the course of the weekend and the replay. In fact, we'll probably be replaying the whole thing.
For your information, they're just taking pictures.
There we are. Yeah, we'll probably be playing the whole thing over the course of the weekend, starting from. I'm not sure whether Jeff has planned to play today first, so as people get a chance to hear that, and then we'll run
before you go just
other
one
things
little thing.
Over the weekend.
I have thought long and hard of a token of appreciation, which is personal, and which is from Africa. And I'm going to present each of the table officers, plus Penny and Catherine, with a little box containing, from Africa, wisdom stones. They're 24 symbols, and you can read how to use them and let them inspire your lives from Africa. Philip, if you would... And Philip does know that, but there's an extra one for yourself, Philip, as part of the team. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think it's very special. It's a new thing.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah. This is a very special time, I think.
for the World Blind Union, the officers, table officers, sort of the changing of the guard, if you will, and as I say, a very special time. Some of the delegates have gone, but still the room is reasonably full.
I can imagine it's quite an emotional time, too, actually.
I mean, I think it's emotional, and I'm just sitting here.
Can we have Penny and Catherine also in an inclusive photograph?
And photographs, of course, being... Whoops. What happened?
They've turned it...
They've turned it off.
They have.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
That's not us, folks.
It's not us.
We didn't touch it.
No, we're still on. But
they turned the
house mics have gone off. Yes. Presumably, you can't hear much while they're taking photographs. So they thought, we'll turn them off.
But it would have been nice. It would have been nice to hear things, primarily because I'm nosy.
No.
Yeah.
Marlene,
you never heard that about me?
Marlene Lieberg, nosy.
Never. Oh, my gosh.
No. Marlena, I know you have to get away reasonably early, but I'd be interested, while everything's off, in just your thoughts on the week.
Oh, just a moment. Someone is... Yeah? Oh, someone would like to take a picture of us? Absolutely. We'll smile.
Well,
just tell us where you are, and we'll smile at you.
From behind or...
Chrissy, you're feeding back.
Well, no, because every time I turn my ear...
Yes, well, stop turning your ear.
Well, no, you want... I wasn't sure where she was taking it from, you see.
Try not to take care of me.
She what?
Just continue. Take it from the front. No, that's fine. I'd be interested in your thoughts on the week. So, starting with the women's forum.
Well, I'm almost speechless. I mean, to really explain it. It's different from any other event I have ever attended.
Mm-hmm.
Different in the sense that you suddenly realize simultaneously how much you have and how much you need to learn.
Mm, mm.
You know, I mean, it's almost like a thunder and lightning storm happening. You know, you know that you have so much in terms of resources, and yet you know that you lack so much in global knowledge of blindness and the situation of blind people around the world. And that is what sort of struck me. Oh, good, they're coming back. I'm
There's no way that
here.
They all can address you, as they'd love to do. I'm going to invite Kiki.
Yes, Kiki.
Who's worked longest
Kiki
with me over
darling.
The years.
Oh, she's sweet.
On behalf of the retiring officers, to address you briefly. Your attention for Kiki. Thank you.
Thank you, President. Just a few words. There are many outgoing officers this time. I don't only mean the table officers, of course. I also include the regional presidents who are part of the officers. The outgoing officers are Susan Spanjin, Gloria Penisa, Amer Makarem, Kua Chenghok, Jose Monteagudo, Jim Gibbon, Paul Tessano, and myself. 8 persons. I thank all those outgoing officers for all the hard work, the passion, the commitments you have given to World Blind Union, and for your tireless and endless time you have spent voluntarily on World Blind Union over the years. Without your hard work for World Blind Union, we should never be where we are today. We should never have achieved the progress we have made over the 2.5 decades we have existed. The lessons we learned during this period were also of great value, not only for ourselves, but also for the future. Thank you so much for all for what you all have done, and the desires you made, all the desires you had in your mind when you made up your decision. Now, I will also, on behalf of all the outgoing officers, thank the delegates and the organizations, member organizations, for the trust you have bestowed us in when you believed in us when you elected us as your leaders. I also, on behalf of all outgoing officers, thank you for your patience observed by by you within when we within the officers had to take a longer time than you expected to make up decisions that was needed in the name of democracy and fairness. You have also given us a joyful and a wonderful memory, which will surely make profound footprint in our minds for the rest of our lives. Thank you for your trust in us, and thank you, everyone, for what you have done, and thank you, officers, and good luck for the new incoming board. Thanks.
That's Kiki Nordstrom.
Yes. Someone who's just befriended us very much this week.
And so the moment has come to recognize the new team. And I'm going to invite Catherine Munoz-Smith of the WBU office to read to us loud and clearly the names of the new executive.
Thank you, William. I apologize if I mispronounce anyone's name. So the new WBU executive for the year 2008 to 2012, the president is Ms. Marianne Diamond from Australia. First vice president is Arnt Holte from Norway. The second vice president is Ms. Frances Kandiru from Uganda. The secretary general is Mr. Enrique Perez de España. The treasurer is Mr. A.K. Mittal from India. And our immediate past president is Dr. William Rowland from South Africa. For the regional executive from Africa, the president, Mr. Paul Tezenu from Cameroon. Mr. Mohamed Azawi from Morocco. Ms. Donatilla Kanimba from Rwanda. And Ms. Rosewater Mudarika from Zimbabwe. From the Asia region, the regional president is Mr. Ahmed Aluzi from Jordan. Ms. Anadi Olmani from Kuwait. Mr. J.L. Kaul from India. And Mr. Kalik Baritabasovich from Kyrgyzstan. From the WBU Asia Pacific region, the regional president is Mr. Chuji Sashida from Japan. Ms. Michiko Tabata from Japan, Mr. Kim Wing Mok from Hong Kong, China, and from Thailand, Mr. Monthian Buntan. From Europe, the regional president is Lord Colin Lowe. Mr. Alexander Numvakin, from Russia. Mr. Julien Aimé from France. And Ms. Birgitta Blocklin from the Netherlands. From the Latin American region, the new president is Dr. Guillermo Moreno de Panama. Mr. Misael Oliveira from Brazil. Ms. Lucia Nieves from Venezuela. And Ms. Maria Soledad Cisternas Reyes from Chile. From the North America Caribbean region, the regional president is Mr. Carl Augusto. Mr. James Sanders from Canada. Dr. Mark Maurer from the United States. And Mr. Arvil Grant from St. John's, Antigua and Barbuda, representing the Caribbean region. And finally, the two international members on the executive committee are Mr. Dipendra Manocha from India and Mr. Larry Campbell from the United States. Thank you.
Oh, they've killed the mics again.
Thank you, Catherine.
There we go.
I now invite the incoming president for the period 2008-2012, Marianne Diamond of Australia, to address the Assembly. Marianne.
Thank you, William. Fellow delegates, distinguished past presidents, honorary life members, I am truly excited to take on the reins of this organisation as we move to the end of this Assembly and begin a new chapter. 25 years is a short term over the life of an organisation, as we've heard over the last few years, but I guess that depends on how old you are. If I think back to 1984, I had no children and now I have four. I was employed in the information technology industry and I never would have ever imagined that I would work in the disability, blindness or international sector, but here I am. If we think of the world more generally, the Apple Mac computer was introduced, HIV/AIDS was discovered, the Olympic Games were in Los Angeles, and the WCWB and IFB came together to form the World Blind Union. In my statement, I talked a lot about some of the things I'd like to see the World Blind Union do, and I'd have to say during this week, from all of your contributions, I think I could confidently say they were all covered off. So it's a good start that we're talking from the same page. I'd just like to highlight three, and that doesn't by any means say that others are less or more important. Employment, or as I described, unemployment of blind people everywhere in the world is a major problem. And it's great that we all recognise it and pledge to do something about it. Leadership is another issue. If you were at the Women's Forum on Saturday, you would have heard me say that if we're doing our jobs well, we should be identifying our replacement. So leadership, or the opportunities to develop skills in leadership, opportunities to work in leadership roles, is something that we would and should provide or make available to everybody, irrespective of where they live. And that's something I'd like to see us do. We need leaders at the international, regional, national and local levels if we are going to be truly effective. The other area is partnerships. We have a lot of huge capacity amongst our own membership. Willingness to share, willingness to learn and much to give. And we heard an example of that today when Enrique provided us all with a copy of the book produced by ONSEI, the tool to assist us in fundraising. And that is a major contribution, a major collaboration relationship with one of our members. And I want to share with you some news that is very, very exciting, and none of you will probably have heard. We have been talking about all week the need to consolidate, build the World Blind Union. Without a resource base, we will never become sustainable. The change in our membership fees this morning was one step in that direction, as some of us will support others who are less able to pay. But in discussions with one of our members, the RNIB, and Leslie Ann Alexander, RNIB has agreed to support us by making available to us a part-time fundraiser for 1 year. I thank RNIB for this on behalf of all of you, and I'm sure this will help us make a huge step forward in that direction. On behalf of our incoming team, I'd like to thank you for your support in advance of our work, because I'm sure that we'll come across all of you soon. But I'd like to also thank everybody who put themselves forward as a candidate. Not everybody can win, but there's plenty of work for everyone. Don't worry, you don't have to be an elected person to get a job in the next term. I can assure you of that. But before I finish, it's dangerous, I know, to say thank you to some, because no doubt I'll forget others. But I'd like to say a special thank you to William. Every president of the World Blind Union has their own style, leaves a mark. William, we have done a lot of great work this year, and I thank you very much on behalf of members and everyone for your leadership. Thank you to our outgoing table officers. As we've heard from Kiki, it's not just a few table officers, it's a very large group. 8 people out of 12 are all going to be quite new, so that's going to be a really different face for us. Lots to learn, lots of opportunities for great and new ideas. I'd like to also thank Vision Australia. Everyone who knows me knows that I've had a tremendous support resource from Vision Australia over the last few years, which allowed me to undertake my role as First Vice President. And it's their support that I was able to put myself forward as a candidate, and they will support me into the next 4 years. Our Chief Executive, Gerard Menzies, is here, along with some board members, and I haven't asked them yet, but I hope they think the investment was a good one. And to my family, everyone who's been in a leadership role knows that you cannot do it without the support of your family. I have to tell you, I have teenage children, and it is Friday evening in Australia, so I can be pretty sure they're not listening to me on the net. But I'll close now, but most of all, thank each and every one of you. I look forward to working with you in the next 4 years and meeting up with you again 4 years from now. Thank you.
Thank you, Miranda, and that was a wonderful piece of news you shared with us. I've got a new boss, and I hope I'm not going to get into trouble immediately by what I'm going to say now. But shortly after Miranda was elected, she received a telephone call from Minister David Shorten in the Australian Cabinet. And one of his remarks was, "Diamond shines on the world stage." Well, diamond sparkles on the way to say it. Wait. And we will all shine in your reflected sparkle. That concludes the business. Yes. Now, we do have a request that the new table officers will join us on stage so we can get into close relation and have a picture.
Fade the house down just a bit.
No.
And don't be so what?
Hasty. Oh, dear. Well, you're still talking.
Hasty. There. Okay. Nothing going on.
Now then. This week has been great. It really has. And I, for one, would like to hear, as we have him with us, the president of ACB, Mitch Pomerantz. I'd love to know your impressions of the week, Mitch.
It has been
an inspiring week, a thought-provoking week, an interesting week, because, again, you get an opportunity to talk to a number of folks from all over the world, from places where conditions for blind people are very different. They're dealing with issues that we in the developed countries of the world dealt with 50, 100 years ago. So it was a very fascinating and interesting week. And being, again, new to this, you learn a lot. You try to absorb as much as you can.
Just
and obviously, the World Blind Union is an organization that is attempting, with very limited resources, to positively impact the lives of blind people all over the world. So it's been a great week. It's a tiring week. During the resolutions this morning, I was thinking that at least I don't have to chair that meeting.
Yes, isn't that a happy thought?
with all of the,
isn't it just?
With all the fun that was going on. But it's been a great week, and
all right.
Looking forward to it in 4 years if I get the opportunity to come back.
Well, Mitch, I have a question. It seems to me that ACB at one time, many years ago, was more, we had more of a profile, a high profile within the World Blind Union. And I wonder what you foresee in terms of the direction that ACB and the World Blind Union may be able to take together after spending this week here.
Well, I think one of the issues is we were not able, for financial reasons, to attend the meeting in Cape Town 4 years ago. And I think that had a lot to do with it. With the new president, with Marianne Diamond, I know that a number of committees will be established or reestablished. I've already indicated to Carl Augusto, who's the president of the North American Caribbean region, that certainly ACB would want to be part of a number of the committees. So I guess all I can say is that we will make it clear, we've made it clear to Carl, that we want to be more involved in future. There are a number of committees that I think we can positively influence, and that's what we will endeavor to do.
Well, I look forward to that.
Mitch, what would you say was the high spot for you personally of the week?
I
will move my microphone. That's it. What would you say was the high spot for you personally?
Are these applause for ACB Radio? That's what I'm hearing.
Really?
Well, I think.
And so I
the fact that we did introduce a resolution having to do with, we call them quiet cars. They didn't use that terminology. But
no, they didn't.
But that was a resolution that we discussed at the North American Caribbean region in April. And that resolution was adopted by the group this morning. A lot of hard work went into that, a lot of back and forth.
Bet.
So we already have had some impact. And I guess that was kind of our high point, at least since I did the writing, the bulk of the writing on the, for that resolution. But otherwise, I think it was just having the opportunity to meet a lot of folks whose names I'd heard before, hadn't had the opportunity to meet. Enrique Perez, for example, Avance, and a number of other folks such as, of that caliber. So that was, those were the high points, I think, of the week for me.
Well, I do think that ACB was a noted presence here. Excuse my voice. Was a noted presence here. ACB Radio was just thanked and applauded by the
body. And we didn't have the house up for it.
It
just shows we work, you see, just going on working.
And also, I think that our presence at the Women's Forum, Marvelena Quesada served on the Resolutions Committee. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to give two lengthy reports in the Women's Forum. And, of course, your and Chris's presence in the delegation. I feel like the American Council of the Blind is back in the World Blind Union, and that's exactly where we belong.
Absolutely. I'd agree with that.
Well, I said a year ago that we were going to take a more assertive, active position in the national blindness picture and on the world stage, and we're gonna keep that commitment. We were here en masse this week. And so we will just continue to maintain a vocal and active presence in this organization.
Well, I would, like to thank ACB for giving me the chance to come here and to work with ACB Radio on this, because I, for one, have enjoyed it immensely. Let me pot you up.
I'm here.
You're potted up. That's it.
I'm potted.
You're potted. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'm very proud of the American Council of the Blind, and it has been something that I have loved from my heart for years and years and years, and so to be chosen to come here and first represent the organization and then work with ACB Radio was an honor for me, and it's an experience that I will never forget, and I hope to carry back to the membership by writing a forum article about the Women's Forum and maybe even some of my thoughts and experiences as a participant here.
Yes, and I'd like to do the same in terms of my experiences with ACB Radio here, which is interesting. And also, I think we must, the people we mustn't forget are the listeners. And we've had some wonderful feedback from listeners, and they really have enjoyed the coverage we've been giving. So
yes,
that's heartwarming.
Yes, it is. And we appreciate everyone's being there, and your MSNs and your emails, and you never know where you'll see us next.
That's it. We should be around back and through, as they say. If my mic is distorting, I'm awfully sorry. The battery is on its way out, and it's lasted the whole week, which is really quite something. So there we go. We have a pianist in the background playing some, I think, Chopin.
And I am going to say goodbye to the listeners. I am just about packed up, and I'm going to reach over.
Oh, that's all right.
Stay still. Oy, oy, oy. I'm going to reach over and unplug my mic.
Mr. Gray making me turn round. My microphone went near the headphones.
You are completely interrupting me. I'm going to reach over and take my mic and unplug it and say thank you again to everyone for listening, and I will be hearing you soon on ACB Radio Mainstream. So.
Thank you, Marlena, for all that you've done throughout the course of the week and also as a delegate to the Women's Forum.
And thank you for being a wonderful partner and leader.
Even if I do interrupt you.
Well, you know, I always yell at you for interrupting me.
I know. She always yells at me anyway. I mean, it's just the way life goes, I suppose. But, but there we go. Anyway.
So goodbye until I next hear you in the U.S. This is Marlena Lieberg, and I'm potting myself down.
Hi.
Safe journeys, everyone.
Let me return the mic to you.
Okay. Anyway. Let's bring the house up just for a little of the piano. say that. Hello, there are hands all over the stuff. Let me see if I can turn that mic down there. Let's have a bit of the house. I think it's still up.
Thank you. Thank you. We are almost at the end of this General Assembly. And first of all, I would like to congratulate the newly elected President, Marion Diamond, and the newly elected officers. I congratulate on behalf of the Swiss Federation of the Blind and our partners. I wish you much pleasure and great success in your new job. The assembly is over, and we are happy that everything has gone smoothly. And it's now a pleasure to me to introduce to you some of them who have contributed to this success. First, this is Pito Fantastico. He was responsible for the catering, and he was responsible that you were served in quite a short time, and everybody got the right meal. Give him a hand, please. Then we have Frank Grosse. He was responsible for the, let's say, internal logistic. He was responsible for the collaboration with this convention center here and everything what has to be organized here in this house. Then then we have our volunteers. Please come to the stage. The delegates want to see you. We had about 250 of volunteers, and those who are currently in the hall or outside, please come to the stage.
That's for all the volunteers. Oh, I love it. At this point, usually levity sets in. I think it is doing a little. But the volunteers have been great. They really have.
Okay. As far as I've heard, they have done a wonderful job. But it was not only your pleasure. It was also a pleasure to them. And for many of them, this was for sure a new experience, and they were happy to do this. Then I would thank the fantastic interpreters. Unfortunately, they cannot come to the stage because...
We were hoping to get an interview with one of them, actually, but it unfortunately didn't materialize.
Because, if they came to the stage, you wouldn't hear any... only me speaking. Then I would like to thank Hans Keller and his team. He was responsible for the organization of the exhibition.
Yes. The RNIB had a big exhibit there, and there were quite a lot of German and French exhibitors.
Then I would like to thank my colleagues in the LOC, Local Organizing Committee. This was, many of you know her, Christina Fasser. She contributed a lot. She helped with advice and action wherever it was needed. Then Andrea Simakopoulos, he was responsible. He was responsible, let's say, for the external logistics, so for the transportation from and to the airport. And he's on duty tomorrow as well. And then, of course, there are Nadia and Maria. They have done a great job. It was a huge amount of work, and I think we were happy that everything went smoothly, and I'm proud to have such women in my staff. Give them a great applause, please.
Nadia and Maria are being presented with bouquets of flowers and greenery.
I said it before, I cannot list all people who have contributed in this success. Those I have named now, they are kind of the peak of the iceberg. But please accept my heartfelt thanks, all of you who have helped us through these last months and years and weeks. And weeks, yeah.
And years. Well.
I want to thank as well the International Organizing Committee, especially Catherine Munoz-Smith, Penny Harton, and Marion Diamond. Together with Maria Nadia, they were a great team and they had a very good collaboration all together. So we are very close to the end, and don't forget, before every one of us goes his way, let's have a party tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Christian.
There you go.
Just to complete, just to complete the whole picture.
William,
yes?
I have just one word to say for the transportation tomorrow, if you allow me. It's Andre.
Can we do it at the end? Yes? Not quite finished yet.
Good.
Yes. In all the thanks, I want to just be specific, finally, regarding the committees that have contributed to the planning of the World Blind Union General Assembly. Besides the local organizing committee and the international organizing committee chaired by Marianne Diamond, there was the program committee. I'd like to thank my members of that committee, and the sponsorships committee chaired by Philip Bam. Thank you. And I'd also like to acknowledge Red Dye for that beautiful music. He is a great pianist in his own right. The dinner is at 8 o'clock this evening, but the transport at the times that have been given to you by Nadia will commence before 7 from the hotels. Tomorrow morning, the executive meets in room 5 and 6 on the third level here at the centre at 9 o'clock. And at 8:15, there will be a meeting of the WBU Corporation Directors. We are incorporated in Canada and we have business to transact in the morning at 8:15 in room 5 and 6. So go to bed early tonight and be there bright and early. There will be a transport announcement, but this concludes the WBU 7th General Assembly. Thank you.
That's Dr. William Rowland concluding it. That is the end of our
coverage.
Okay,
ladies and gentlemen.
Just about home.
My last, very last announcement is your stage manager. First, to repeat, the buses are leaving from the central railway station called Cornava at 7:45 and 7:10 tonight to take you to the gala dinner. And 6:45 and 7:10. And for all sponsored delegates or unaccompanied people, please be at the lobby of your hotel at 6:30. That the volunteers can pick you up. And one last message, the book from ANSE, A Universal Voice, can be picked up close to the registration desk. Thank you.
Thank you, Nadia. Now we are going to hear from Frédéric Chopin, Étude in C minor. Thank you.
Oh, and they've killed the house, Mike.
One more musical item?
Yes. No. Yeah. Looks like it. No, they're still there. You have been listening to coverage of the 7th General Assembly of the World Blind Union from Geneva, Switzerland. I trust you have enjoyed the coverage. Myself and Marlene Lieberg have brought you. I couldn't have done it without Jeff Shang in Israel, and it's been a real pleasure, I've got to say, to join you and to bring this coverage to you. I'm Chrissy Cochran, and I guess that's about it. So from me and from all of us here, it's goodbye, and thank you very much for listening. This is ACB Radio, where your listening is our business.
This broadcast from ACB Radio World is made possible through the support of Vision Australia. Vision Australia is Australia's leading provider of blindness and low vision services. We strive for the day when people who are blind or who have low vision can participate in any aspect of life they choose. You can find out more about us at visionaustralia.org. We are delighted to be partnering with ACB Radio to bring this WBU General Assembly to the world.
Vision Australia, blindness and low vision services.